Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Multiple military recruitment offices in Russia have been attacked since Russian President mobilization of an estimated 300,000 Russian citizens for their war. Local officials said a 25-year-old gunman opened fire at a military draft office in Siberia on Monday, critically wounding the office's commander. Can NASA shift the orbit of an asteroid by smashing into it with a fast-moving spacecraft? The agency might find out Monday when DART, a bus-sized spacecraft, traveling at over 14,000 miles per hour, tries to hit a 525-foot-wide space rock. The impact is scheduled for 7:14 p.m. Eastern on Monday. 2 years after Oregon residents voted to decriminalize hard drugs and dedicate hundreds of millions of dollars to treatment, few people have requested the service. The Drug Addiction Treatment and Recovery Act in 2020 is focused on decriminalizing possession of personal use amounts of heroin, cocaine, methamphetamine, and others. A gunman on Monday morning killed 13 people and wounded 20 others in a school shooting in Russia. The school is located in Izhevsk, a city about 600 miles east of Moscow in the Udmurtia region. The United States sees that Russia is struggling in its invasion of Ukraine and has warned Moscow that there would be catastrophic consequences if it were to use a nuclear weapon in its war against Ukraine. Secretary of State Antony Blinken on CBS News Sunday night.
We're focused on making sure that we're all acting responsibly, especially when it comes to this kind of loose rhetoric. We have been very clear with the Russians publicly and as well as privately to stop the loose talk about nuclear weapons.
Good news down at IHOP. Today is National Pancake Day. USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Conservative leader Giorgia Meloni has claimed victory in Italy's election and is on course to become the country's first female prime minister. Ms. Meloni is widely expected to form Italy's most right-wing government since World War II. Italy is the European Union's third largest economy and a clear sign current political standards are not supported by their people. The National Football League announced on Sunday Rihanna will perform at the Super Bowl halftime show in February in Glendale, Arizona. About 100 rampaging youths trashed a Wawa convenience store in northeast Philadelphia Saturday night, turning it into a food fight strip club. Zero arrests were made. Republicans are focused on fixing a broken Washington, D.C. in November's midterm elections.
The Republican members of the House of Representatives have unveiled a commitment to America agenda they will implement if they take back the majority in Congress. New York Representative Elise Stefanik, who serves as House Republican Conference Chair, joined Fox News Sunday with Shannon Bream and said this is further proof of how committed the party remains to each other despite attempts from the outside to divide them.
The media is trying to divide us. The Democrats are trying to divide us. We are united, House Republicans, whether it's the Freedom Caucus, whether it's the Republican Governance Group or the Republican Study Committee. All members of Congress were able to provide input in this development of the Commitment to America.
From the Gulf Coast Radio News Bureau, I'm Tony Maruso.
Lance Pride, USA Radio News.
Hey folks, here's great news for active aging seniors. The Kanega Watch, the only medical alert smartwatch with built-in fall detection. Yeah, the Kanega Watch is much different than the other guys. It's a stylish, discreet watch you can wear all the time. Get help through the watch in one of three ways. Your voice, pushing the watch's alert button, or have the fall detection connect you to a U.S.-based 24/7 monitoring center who'll speak to you through your watch and can send help to your GPS location nationwide. And get this, it can do that even if you're not responsive. This is true 24/7 peace of mind for you and those that love you. Order your Kanega watch with a full refund 30-day trial period. Call now, 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
It is 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. Good to have you with us. For more information on the show, BillMartinezShow.com. That's where you want to go. We've got the former Congressman Rick Keller joining us to talk about his new book, Chase the Bears, Little Things to Achieve Big Dreams. Congressman, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thrilled to be with you, Phil.
Well, hey, I get it. I understand. I mean, sometimes, you know, this talking thing, for as long as you and I have been talking, every once in a while, the brain goes one way, the tongue goes another, and thank God we're not in a NASCAR hard turn hitting the wall here, right?
That's right.
Exactly. Well, Chase the Bears, you know, the title. What do you mean by Chase the Bears?
I was sitting at the kitchen table with my wife one Sunday morning, reading the paper, drinking coffee, and right out front of us was a family of bears that just scampered across the yard. And Lori, my wife, and I, without thinking, just jumped up and went and chased the bears to kind of continue this amazing experience. And we never caught them. But when we went back, when we got in it, they run 35 miles an hour, so they could have easily caught us. An Olympic sprinter is 28 miles an hour if they charge this. But when I got back, I said, you know, Lori, that's in a way is a metaphor for life, because most people in life are content to stay inside, play it safe, and just watch out their window as life passes them by and the clock runs out. And other people say, no, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to chase my dreams. I'm going to chase the bears. And so I decided to call the book Chase the Bears in honor of that little incident there.
Well, and that's incredible. Of course, it's the subtitle, Little Things to Achieve Big Dreams. You can't even begin to do little things if you're just sitting on the couch playing video games, can you?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And I talk about the little things that really helped me achieve some big dreams. I didn't even meet my dad till I was 14 years old, and when I first met him, he handed me this little thin paperback book called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, and it sort of became my Bible. I wasn't really ready to call him dad. I just met the guy, but 3 years later, I was ready to call him that and use the principles in this book, and so I set some goals, and one was to be first in my class in college, and that happened, even though I was a mediocre student before, and the other was to get elected to Congress, and that happened, and so now that I'm a little bit older, just turned 58, I thought, you know, it would be really cool to see if I can help make a difference in young people's lives the same way that book made a difference in mine. And so I wrote like a modern day version of Think and Grow Rich that has the same secret formula for achieving success, but deals with more modern day celebrities that you would know and I would know.
Yeah. Well, you know, sharing your story about not meeting your dad till you were 14, I had a friend in college, hadn't seen his dad, didn't meet him till he was like 20. And he went to meet his dad, and his dad told him, said, look, I can't do anything about yesterday. All I can do and comfort you about is today. right now going forward. And that was so relieving for him, because as awkward as that was, as I'm sure it was for you, I mean, you're meeting your dad, and it also brings to mind a new movie that the Kendrick Brothers has just put out that I'd highly recommend to you about adoption, called Life Mark. And an incredible story about a child who meets his biological mother, and he's 18 years old, getting ready to go to college. And the story that's wrapped around it is just so touching. And I imagine probably will bring to mind some things that you must have experienced as you were meeting your father for the first time.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, one of the stories in my book is about Dave Thomas, the founder of Wendy's. And
Wendy's,
he made the promotion of adoption a central cause in his life. And it's just such a wonderful story. And he dropped out of school in high school, and he goes back to school at age 61 to a high school in South Florida. And they vote him, gets his diploma. They vote him most likely to succeed, and made him prom king, you know. But yeah, I will say this. I agree with the sentiment you expressed. You know, my dad just really more than made up for it. He's that same little book I did, and he became real successful in selling insurance. And so I got accepted to Vanderbilt Law School, and it was like $75,000 a year. And my dad stroked the check for everything, you know. And so it was very helpful.
Well, and you mentioned, Dave from Wendy's. I mean, the place that you got fired, you couldn't even flip a burger or cook fries right, I guess. You know, that's you got to really work hard to get fired from Wendy's.
I did get fired from Wendy's in high school. I was 15, and my manager said, "You just don't have what it takes to make it in fast food." I was too slow in flipping the burgers. Mm-hmm. And so when someone tells you you're not good enough for fast food, what do? I only had one choice. You know, I ran for the United States Congress, and that seemed to work out. And Wendy's, to their credit, became my biggest donor. They really helped me than anyone. Yeah.
So here you are. You're remembering the words of your manager at Wendy's. Fast forward several decades, you're in the Oval Office with the President of the United States. Can't flip burgers, but you can hang with the President.
Absolutely. And one of my constituents saw a picture of me in the Oval Office with President Bush and Ted Kennedy, and wrote me a letter, and it said, "You, Mr. Big Shot, you know, you think you can serve our country? You can't even serve French fries." And I wrote back and said three words: "Shut up, Mom." She made it her mission to keep me from getting a big head no matter where I ended up. And so she pounded that into us, humility.
Well, and this is amazing, too. You know, your book, I mean, it's such a breath of fresh air, and it's liberating that side of us that is causing us, you know, some of us who can hear it, you know, to appreciate humor that's deprecating. And how did you realize this as a tool? Because you use this to get elected to Congress.
Yeah, I really stumbled across it. I was a young guy. I just graduated from Vanderbilt Law School, and I met Jeb Bush, who was a young guy at the time, had never held elective office, and he had given a speech, and it was very substantive but a little bit dry, and I just, on the spur of the moment, I wrote down something on my business card and handed it to him, and that became the opening line for his stump speech. And the line was, "One of my opponents has accused me of running on my father's coattails. Well, to show that I'm running on my own merits, I've decided to go ahead and change my last name. I don't know what I'm going to change it to yet, but it's either going to be Reagan or Eisenhower." And just by poking fun of, you know, being from this prominent family, he really connected with people. And then when I decided to run for Congress, I had a similar problem, even though I was a poor kid. I had 0 years of experience, and I was running against two opponents, super well qualified. One was the mayor, the other state legislator. They'd been in office for 8 years. And one of them in a debate said, "You know, Rick, you're an amateur compared to us." And I said, "You know what? I am an amateur." But it was amateurs who built Noah's Ark and professionals who built the Titanic. And I don't hear about that issue anymore. And self-deprecating humor has helped me so much, and because it connects with people. I think when you are authentic and vulnerable and real, you connect. But when you go around saying, "Fake it till you make it, put your best foot forward, never let them see you sweat," people see through that crap, you know? They want someone they can relate to.
They want somebody authentic. And we've seen this work very effectively in politics. Ronald Reagan was very effective in his campaign against Mondale, right?
He absolutely was, you know, and he had that classic line. He hadn't done good in his first debate, and they asked him in the second debate. He's in mid-70s. Are you too old to be president? And he said, I'm not going to make age an issue. I'm not going to exploit for political purposes my opponent's youth and inexperience. And even Mondale had to laugh, and he later said, you know, I knew at that moment my campaign was over, and Reagan won 49 out of 50 states. So he was a master of self-deprecating humor, and there's a lot of Democrats were too, like JFK, you know.
Exactly. We got to go to a quick break. We've got more from the former Congressman Rick Keller in his new book, Chase the Bears, right after this.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Packages start at $29.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details. Terms and conditions apply.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. Now you can get Vivint's award-winning home security systems starting at about a dollar a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the best professionally installed home security system of 2022. And right now, you can get Vivint's home security technology for about a dollar a day. Plus, get free professional installation from a licensed technician. Protect your home and loved ones for as low as a dollar a day. Call right now for your free home security consultation.
800-584-2518. 800-584-2518. 800-584-2518. That's 800-584-2518.
Too often, we don't know what we don't know. Hi, this is Bill Martinez, man of God, nationally syndicated radio host, former Marine, and award-winning marketing professional. It reminds me of when, as a new Marine Corps recruit, 87 of us were picked up at a Greyhound bus station in San Diego to be taken to the Marine Corps Recruit Depot in San Diego, California. Some of the new recruits were acting up and a bit animated as if we were headed to an amusement park. And I noticed two Marine escorts in front of the bus looking back at the chaos, shaking their heads with a slight smirk. And it was then that I wondered, okay, what do they know that we don't know? Well, 20 minutes later, we found out what they knew as we were greeted by several drill instructors yelling at us in all kinds of language. Get off the bus, get on the bus, get back on the bus, get off the bus, and then stand in the yellow footprints. Well, today, as we're confronted with the unknown, we can have some encouragement to know that eventually we will know, and it's then that our character is refined and we realize that knowledge is power and must precede the right action. Welcome back, America. in 19 minutes after the top of the hour, fresh and independent, just the way you like to hear from us, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. The former Congressman Rick Keller is with us. We're talking about his new book, Chase the Bears, Little Things to Achieve Big Dreams. There is seriousness about the book, but you also appreciate Rick Keller's uncanny sense of humor. Rick, do you even realize that you're funny, or are you just kind of, you know, because you're just so natural with it? And this is, I think, sometimes, which is real special when people are gifted with comedy, they just have a special timing, and it's almost like, you know, sometimes they don't even realize how funny they are. Is that the case for you?
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, humor has always come easily for me, but I guess I'm a subspecialist. I've never been a sarcastic guy. I don't really like that, and I don't like people kind of punching down either. My style of humor is typically self-deprecating, and I think one of the cool things about humor, though, is you don't have to be the funniest guy in the room. You know, it takes two people, and just laughing and appreciating other people who's got a sense of humor is super important, too. And also, for people who may not be super gifted in humor, I think one of the cool things about it is you can still use humor to put life in perspective, you know?
Exactly.
Like a good example was Chris Christie was being made fun of by David Letterman and a bunch of these fat jokes and stuff. And he went on the Letterman show, and midway through the interview, he pulls out a glazed donut and starts eating it. He didn't have to say a word, but it was just the fact that, you know what, I'm in on the joke. I'm willing to put fun of myself, and it was awesome.
Yeah, exactly. And as you related yourself, that I think we've all had challenges with weight, unless you're just one of these incredibly metabolic, gifted individuals that no matter what you eat, you could eat a dozen donuts and you're still, you know, 125 pounds soaking wet no matter what. But, you know, for some of us that do struggle with weight, you know, those jokes, you know, from Letterman on the face, it could seem very mean-spirited. But it took Chris Christie and his self-deprecating manner to bring it in perspective. And I think this is where we are today in today's political environment, is that everything is so mean. And all it takes is just maybe 5% difference, which is, you know, I've realized that, you know, 5% can make a big difference in life. In fact, a friend of mine had done the math for me, having played sports most of my life, and I love baseball. We were in a baseball family of 9 kids, and so we talked baseball, we ate baseball, we slept baseball, and we knew batting averages were important. And it came to a mathematic equation that said that if you were going to be a most excellent professional ball player and one that was going to make millions of dollars, the difference between them and the next tier was one more hit in 20 at-bats. So 5% difference, right? So go ahead.
That's absolutely true. You know, both the catchers on my high school baseball team ended up being professional catchers, one for the Cincinnati Reds, one for the White Sox. They were good players, but I, as a layman, couldn't tell a big distinction between them and the rest of the guys. It was a 5 or 10% difference that made all the difference, you know. Funny story about the weight loss. I struggled with it, and I finally got it under control, and I lost 100 pounds over a year, 2 pounds a week, and I had a hearing where Richard Simmons was our expert witness, and he was talking about the importance of PE in the public schools, and I said, you know, Richard, I just had this weight loss, and one thing surprised me is it I'm not stressed anymore. I work out every time. I'm not stressed. And he said, you're not stressed and you're cute. I'm like, okay, well, now I'm stressed. Yeah, I think it's right. But weight loss is relatable, and I talk about weight loss in the book. And you know, I have a great sense of humor and make fun of myself, but the turning point for me was I was on the House floor, and one of the members of Congress said, oh, my chief of staff, somebody came up and said, you look just like Rick Keller. And the staffer said, oh, I better hit the gym then. And I laughed, you know, and went along with it, but privately it hurt my feelings. You know, I felt like a joke. And so I made it my point to turn things around and to never, ever make a joke about someone's weight. Not cool.
Yeah, exactly. No, I agree. The idea, again, about 5% is that all it takes is maybe 5% difference in a room where you lighten up the environment in such a way, because it's so mean-spirited right now, Rick, and I'm sure you would agree. You know, America cannot continue at this pace where we're at each other's throats. Unless we learn to laugh again, I was interviewing one of the early participants in Babylon Bee yesterday in their new book, and we just laughed and had a good time. And I just said, you know, before the Babylon Bee, I was thinking, you know, where is the Will Rogers of a modern era who could, you know, poke fun at politicians and, you know, people not take themselves so seriously? You know, that kind of humor is something that's been missing. You know, our comedians today, they're afraid to go to college campuses, you know, for, you know, because they're afraid they might get attacked, because, you know, this woke culture is just taking the funny out of life.
I agree, and I think that Will Smith incident was just pathetic. And I agree. But in terms of the civility issue, I think the erosion of civility is the number one root problem facing our country. Mm-hmm. And I think 9 out of 10 people are upset about it, and it's divisive politicians and screaming talking heads and Twitter trolls, and the culture has changed. But I do think, I'm optimistic, there are three things we can do about it. I think first, you got to start listening to the other side with an open mind. And second, you don't have to agree on everything or anything. Just be respectful, man, in your response.
Exactly.
And then third, I think we've got to put relationships over division. I mean, if you and I agree on, if there are 10 things and you and I agree on 7, that just because we have three different things doesn't make you worthless or the enemy. And in fact, you may be my opponent on one of those three things, but a year from now, you may be my best ally in the world. So it makes no sense to treat people with this kind of worthless disdain.
Well, we're going through the process. I remind people, I grew up in Southern California along the beach, and what I learned from the lifeguards was that when somebody was drowning, you kind of let them just you know, fight themselves out. Because I remember the first time I observed it, I'm saying, lifeguard, hello, the guy's drowning out there, and the lifeguard's just sitting there, you know, not moving. And I've always moved with a sense of urgency in my life, so I were already been in the water. And so, you know, afterwards I said, hey, why did you take so much time to go in to save the guy? You saw he was fighting for his very life. He goes, oh, you don't understand. He says, if you go there and save him right away, in their panic and strength, you're both going to drown. So we have to let them fight themselves out so we can go and grab them. And I think that this is where the country is a little bit, is that it needs to fight itself out. And when it fights itself out and gets tired of, you know, gets arm weary and everything, and it's rope-a-doped itself to such a degree that the fight is out of them, then maybe we can pause for a moment and realize that, hey, you know, 7, 8 of the things that are, you know, we can agree on. And, you know, we're fussing over, you know, two things that are minor after everything is all said and done, for goodness sakes, right?
Wow. I mean, what an amazing story. I had never heard of that concept, but that's really, really powerful. And I couldn't agree more. In fact, recently I just gave a TED Talk, and it was called The Power of Self-Deprecating Humor, where I talked about those issues, and I talked about the Mount Rushmore of presidents in terms of funny, and I mentioned two Republicans, Lincoln and Reagan, and two Democrats, Obama and JFK. And I think Lincoln was such a master. I mean, he was in a debate, and one of his opponents said that he was two-faced. And Lincoln said, if I had two faces, do you think I'd be wearing this one? And I'm like, what a wonderful, charming guy. Now that face is on Mount Rushmore, so I think he got the last laugh.
Yes. Exactly. And then you had an example, and I saw the TED Talk, too. Excellent TED Talk, by the way. Very inspiring. I'm sharing it with my kids, saying, look, you got to watch this. Obama's story. Share that.
Oh my gosh, he was so good at the Washington Correspondents' Dinners, and he said, you know, I'm thinking about my Obama library, and some people say I should put it in my hometown, but you know, I'd rather keep it here in the United States. And then he says, I'm getting older. I look in the mirror. I'm not the strapping young Muslim socialist that I used to be. And so, what a wonderful sense of humor, and it was a day after one of those Washington Correspondents' Dinner where he issued the order for SEAL Team 6 to kill and capture Osama bin Laden. And so he showed through his example. I happen to be a conservative Republican, but give credit when credit is due. Yeah. He showed how to handle himself with civility and humor, and made not just a good decision on Obama, but a fantastic decision. with respect to getting Osama bin Laden?
Well, former Congressman Rick Keller has been our guest. His new book, Chase the Bear, is highly recommended. Check it out. It will make you laugh. It's very healthy. It's a healthy thing to do and laugh. Little things to achieve big dreams. Rick, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Bill. Been a pleasure.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your health care costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Secretary of State Anthony Blinken on CBS News Sunday night warns the Kremlin on its nuclear weapon threats.
We've heard a lot of irresponsible rhetoric coming out of Vladimir Putin, but we're focused on making sure that we're all acting responsibly, especially when it comes to this kind of loose rhetoric. We have been very clear with the Russians publicly and as well as privately to stop the loose talk about nuclear weapons.
A gunman on Monday morning killed 13 people and wounded 20 others in a school shooting in central Russia. The school is located in Izhevsk, a city about 600 miles east of Moscow in the Urmia region. A 17-year-old is under arrest in the UK for the massive data breach at Rockstar Games. Roughly 90 videos of the unreleased Grand Theft Auto 6 were leaked. Lance Pry, USA Radio News.
Do you experience fatigue when you know you should have energy? One reason fatigue can occur is due to a lack of antioxidants in the body. This deficiency happens the older we get, or due to eating an unhealthy diet, or even due to exercise. Your body's number one antioxidant is glutathione. When your cells are depleted of glutathione, you will be fatigued, inflamed, possibly depressed, and may also feel pain. Empirical results indicate that consuming green metal whey protein powder is the most effective means of increasing glutathione production. Green metal whey supplies nature's richest source of the precursor to making glutathione within the trillions of cells of your body. This protein strongly supports the cell's ability to make glutathione. Add to this that green metal whey also supports immunity, energy, lean muscle development, fat loss, and has anti-cancer properties, and you have nature's most complete and strongest superfood. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Before the top of the hour, Dr. Wilfred Riley joins us now, the professor of political science at Kentucky State University, author of Taboo, 10 Facts You Can't Talk About. Dr. Riley, how are you, sir?
Doing pretty well. Glad to be back on.
Hey, lots to talk about. But first of all, let's talk a little bit about the, if we might, the Don Lemon exchange on CNN the other night with a British royal expert, you know, breaking down the argument for reparations. Did you happen to catch that?
Yeah, I switch back and forth between CNN and Fox, all the news networks while I'm cooking and so on at night. I mean, I think CNN's mostly nonsense, but I did see that exchange. It was a funny exchange.
Mm-hmm. Funny in as much as that Don Lemon didn't know what to do. It's like he thought, well, all of a sudden he was going to just throw that out there. And like everything that happens on CNN, everybody just goes along to get along. But this royal had her facts, and Don Lemon was caught on his heels.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the case. So people always say things like, I want to have an honest conversation about race. And one of my buddies who teaches in the criminal justice department at Kentucky State, African-American man, will always, when people say that, respond with, well, let's start with talking about black crime. And he's a pro black guy, but it's just the point is that if you want to have a dialogue about something, that's not going to consist of one guy yelling at the other guy about historical atrocities. Our ancestors all committed historical atrocities. Everyone's descended from the conquistadors or William Wallace's Scotsmen or the Indians who used to raid outlying American settlements, the Africans are sold by other Africans. And that's pretty much what the Britisher on Don Lemon said. I know if you want to talk about reparations, let's talk about the entirety of the slave trade. I mean, you had large African empires like Dahomey that were nearly as advanced as Europe in many ways. They were raiding into the primitive African interior. They were capturing these innocent people and were selling them as slaves. And in Britain, I mean, we had slave traders as well, but unlike the Africans, we also had an organized naval force that blockaded Africa, blockaded Eastern Europe, and that helped stop the slave trade. So, I mean, is Nigeria going to pay us reparations? What was the total benefit? This I thought was a really interesting question. She didn't phrase it quite this formally, but what was the total benefit of slavery to our economy? Britain didn't have the equivalent of the South. They didn't have a slave region. What was the total benefit of slavery to our economy, all the domestic slaves and so on, minus the cost of the, what was it, 2,000 British sailors that were killed during the anti-slavery campaign, minus the cost of doubling your number of ships? So we almost never talk about these race issues in this way. Like, sure, there were white atrocities against natives, say. There were also native atrocities against whites. In the treaty, we gave the tribes X amount of land, which they still hold. What's actually owed? If we're not talking about guilt here, if we're sort of doing business, what's actually owed? And so this European did that. And Don Lemon was absolutely shocked. I don't think he'd expected that because he'd been talking with American white liberals for so long. I don't think he'd expected the sort of English conservative to say, well, yeah, I'm fully prepared to talk about the slave trade, but which part of the slave trade do you mean? Which slave trade do you mean? Because it's become taboo to ask that here, where the world began in 1619.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and she said, let's start with the practical approach of let's go back and start with let's go back to the chain of events. You know, where did it all begin? And the thing is, that's just Britain. And you and I have discussed this before. When you come to America, you know, we're not talking about the 600,000 men and women during the Civil War that gave up their lives and the life of an assassinated president here, you know, in order to free the slaves and to finally take that stand that was necessary to support what we said we believed in our U.S. Constitution, that all men are created equal. So there was the line in the sand, and look at the investment there, the deaths of the 600,000 plus people.
I'd actually be interested in an academic analysis of this question as kind of one of the wonkier guests on the show.
I think that's a good point. I think you bring up an excellent point here. Go ahead.
That's absolutely correct. So, yeah, I mean, we lost, counting the Confederates as countrymen again, we lost about 620,000 people during the Civil War. We also went the equivalent of, it's about $1 trillion in debt in today's money, as I understand. This is the first national debt. It was, I think, $12 billion was the cost of the Civil War. And that's in, I mean, they were paying with gold back then. I mean, that's in 1864 dollars, you know. Slavery was a substantial percentage of the Southern economy, but the Southern economy, slavery tends to make regions poorer. Like, it makes the slave masters really rich because they don't have to pay anyone working for them. But obviously, the slaves have a half or a third of the net income, or whatever you want to call it, of free men. And the wages, when people use terms like poor white, the wages of free farmers and so on in slave areas are really dragged out. But anyway, blah, blah, blah. The whole point is, if you take that cost of almost 1 million people that were killed, $1 trillion, so on, that went into freeing the slaves, is there a debt to the descendants of the slaves? I mean, there were only about 4 million slaves in the USA at that time, so we lost about one American soldier for every 9 slaves that were freed. Something like that. So again, the point here isn't that there's not some argument from kind of serious African-American scholars. It's not that there's, the conservative point isn't probably correct. It's that nobody really talks about the issue like this.
Yes.
We've kind of gotten into just this rote virtue signaling, like, of course, anything you want, ma'am. And that's where 1619 Kendi D'Angelo comes from. No one really mentions the guys in Union Blue anymore.
Right, exactly. Well, and I appreciate you being able to, you know, discuss this, and even in a cursory level, but maybe this might be an opportunity brought on by this British royal expert, Hilary Fordwich, that could, alter the approach here when we talk about this, because, you know, what are we doing? I mean, I think there's some value, certainly, at looking at things historically, but, are you looking historically so that you would be catapulted, and by catapulted, I mean advanced to another level, or are you being held back? And in a sense, as Joe Biden says, I mean, he talks about being put in chains. It's almost a self-application of putting yourself in chains by, going into a no-win debate here. Is that fair, or am I shortcutting this a little bit?
Yeah, well, I think when you talk about no-win debates, that's kind of what I'm saying about the when someone on the political left says, I want a conversation about race, they don't mean I want to discuss black crime, but also white veteran suicide and problems in the white community like ODs, and then how can we all move together as countrymen. What they mean generally, and almost everyone would be willing to have that conversation. I've had conversations like that 100 times in locker rooms, on golf courses, in bars. That's how normal people talk. If you see a group of normal Americans on a construction site, it wouldn't be weird at all to see like an Italian guy, an Irishman, a Mexican guy, and a black guy just eating lunch together.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes.
When people talk about this in kind of the MSNBC sense, what they mean is we want to hear kind of this recitation of sins of the country with people sort of nodding along. This doesn't tie into our core point, but there's a group that actually reached out to my partner, an upper middle class woman. But I mean, it's called Race to Dinner, where these people will come over to your house and sort of lecture you about the historical sins of white women while you cook them dinner.
Oh my God.
And I think it's a real thing. Google Race to Dinner for the ladies in the audience. I wouldn't advise you to do this. We were laughing when we looked at this. It costs about $2,500 per person, by the way.
Of course.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a huge grift with all this stuff. I mean, Dr. Kenny is a nice guy personally, but I mean, his foundation or whatever it is just received $10 million from, like, the predatory backers of Google and Twitter to talk about his version of racism. So I mean, when you ask, why do people say this stuff that seems so directly targeted as kind of white liberal heartstrings? Well, it's because they're getting paid to.
Of course.
Most people in the political debate on either side aren't doing it for free, but... So, yeah, the conversations are often not productive, and they're not really intended to be productive. I don't know if there's that much more to add there, but I do think it's refreshing. I'm trying to do this to some extent in my next book. I mean, I'm doing a Thomas Sowell-style chapter on slavery. We now know things about Mesopotamia and so on that even the great man didn't know. But, I mean, if you actually go back through slavery, slavery was one of the great...
I'll tell you what, we've got to go to break. Let's pick it up on the other side. More from Dr. Riley after this.
Nobody wants to get ripped off, broken into, or robbed, but nobody wants to pay a lot of money to have their home protected either. I've got an offer to tell you about to provide home security for your home for less than $1 a day. For real, with no installation or equipment charges. And this is from a company rated number one by a leading consumer research company. According to the facts, most of you won't even call unless there's a burglary in your neighborhood or something bad happened. So let's give you a reason. Save money. For less than $1 a day with no other costs, you can get your home secured. Plus, get a lifetime equipment replacement warranty. You need protection for your home. Call the home security hotline right now.
800-755-7921. 800-755-7921. 800-755-7921. That's 800-755-7921.
President Biden recently released a massive $6 trillion budget, the largest budget in U.S. history. And guess who pays the bill? That's right, you, the American taxpayer. American citizens and business owners will be paying more taxes. That's a fact. And if you owe back taxes, they will be coming after you to collect payments. In fact, President Biden also hired thousands more IRS agents to go after you. If you got a letter from the IRS and you know you owe back taxes or you haven't filed in years, don't
put your head in the sand. Call us today. We've saved our customers millions of tax dollars. One quick, free phone call will show you how we can reduce your past tax bill and save you thousands. Guaranteed, or you pay nothing. Call now.
800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. That's 800-932-1597. Paid for by the Tax Helpline.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes, too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
You can blame Dr. Wilfred Riley on this. I mean, he really opened up a bucket, I think a serious bucket that we need to talk about, you know, a little levity. But seriously speaking, you know, this issue of slavery after all these years, and understand that slavery has been part of the history of man. And not just what we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, just a small piece of the slavery pie and the history of man here. But you would think that in this rich history of man, and certainly when it comes down to slavery, that we should draw some, I think, some intelligent conclusions from this. And I think, Dr. Riley, you've hit on some key points here.
Yeah, well, I think that what slavery has come to mean in the USA because of kind of the left-right political debate, because of the left-wing slant. I mean, they won on this one arena in sort of junior academia, prep school, that kind of thing. Is the Atlantic slave trade between, I guess, 1619 and 1865. That's what almost every American would think of when you think of a slave. Mm-hmm. Like, for that matter, when you think of a posse or a lynch mob, which is one of the oldest things in the world. I mean, the Americans and Mexicans would frequently send posses back and forth across the border, targeted at one another, targeted at a child molester or a horse thief. But that's come to mean, you know, a black guy, maybe an Irishman strung up by a crowd in an American southern city. So we've gotten this incredibly specialized view of this for political reasons. I mean, the reality is, yes, slavery stretched across all of history. This is not controversial. Bill Maher, of all people, said this the other day. The word slave comes from Slav, which almost literally means poor white. I mean, no offense to people of Slavic descent, but I mean, throughout most of history, that meant poor white Eastern European, someone from one of the Slavonic tribes. There were so many of those people sold into slavery that their name among black slave traders, white slave traders, so on, came to mean slave. Obviously, I mean, that's Russia. They've done great things since. But we can't forget that history. It's just that we sort of have. And, of course, slavery goes back into, we admire these societies, but the ancient Greeks were all perverts, pedophiles, and they were also slave traders. This is pre-Christianity. I mean, the Romans, the gladiator arena, people weren't voluntarily there fighting lions. All those people were slaves or prisoners. So, I mean, Christianity had a positive impact on this. Even Islam did in the beginning. But slavery itself has simply been a characteristic of human history. If you, black, white, or Chinese, if you lost a battle until about 1800, you'd very likely get a chance to work on your boat rowing skills for a very long time. And that's unfortunate, but that is, we need to recognize that the West's contribution to this, to some extent, of course, participated and so on, but was ending slavery. I mean, the British Navy, that kind of thing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, you're exactly right. And so here, instead of being in the 21st century, having, for all that we've invested in this, you know, the human costs, and you would think at the level of our intellect today, but because of politics, it has got us in a bucket of gum, and we're not promoting each other's highest. And you're exactly right, Will. I mean, you know, Judeo-Christian principles are what, you know, help lift us all and to respect the idea that, you know, every human being is a creation of God. In fact, last night I was able to view this new documentary about Mother Teresa. My gosh, I mean, you watch this movie, Will, and you think, wow, you know, this humble little woman and what she did in extending the love of God, you know, around the world, and her legacy is just, it's just awesome. And you can't come away from watching this documentary and think, gosh, what am I doing to heighten and respect, you know, humanity here? I mean, for her, it was like, okay, her calling, she believed that she got from God himself, was to go out and serve the poorest of the poor. And her ministry was that every person that she looked in the face of, it didn't matter if they were a political figure or somebody with, you know, leprosy, some less thans in India that had been tossed out in the street because the families couldn't care for them, disabled and that. And she loved each one as if she was looking into the face of Christ. I mean, you can't come away from this documentary and not have your perspective altered a bit.
Yeah, I think that a problem for human beings, especially the males, has been getting people to value each other. And I think Christianity historically has been one of the better systems at getting people to do this, the whole idea everyone's a child of God. I will say even missionaries are another group that's kind of fallen prey to this political take. Obviously, there was some good and some bad about missionary work. I mean, not everyone working in India was Mother Teresa. There were abuses going down the line. But religion and to some extent a lot of basic civilizational skills like farming came to a lot of very poor regions through people that were often there for religious reasons. And yes, I think generally the take on that in mainstream Western media now would be these are kooks. This is the farthest right branch of the church. These people are child molesters, that kind of thing. Again, I think there was some good and some bad, but that emphatically was not the view of missionaries of evangelicalism until pretty recently. So we've seen a very sharp shift in terms of how we view our own society in the very recent past. And I'd say that you'd probably go stronger than this, but I'd say that's mostly a negative.
That's because we live in a world that wants to invalidate everything. And we need to accept, first of all, yes, we're children of God. I believe this. But I also understand that we're fallen, that we're human, and that we're flawed. Nobody's perfect on this planet. Okay? And it is Christianity. When you hold up that standard of Christianity and the standard of Jesus Christ, that really brings into focus how fallen we are and how much we do need somebody who can save us out of this big mess. And it's not going to be politics. It's not going to be any leader. It is not even going to be Mother Teresa, and she'd be the first to tell you that it's not her. Okay, but unless we search and understand who it is who will save us, then, you know, yes, we're going to continue on this journey of life. We're going to make our, you know, our share of mistakes because we are human and we're fallen. So it's really easy to pick on our humanity. But, you know, I think it's a little bit more challenging to say, wow, you know, let's start out with what God has put before us in terms of this opportunity. And how can we live to that highest ideal in the midst of living in a fallen world? That's the opportunity.
Yeah, I think that so my honest social science opinion on that. I mean, obviously, my own religious beliefs, I'm not a Hindu, you know, but I mean, my social science opinion on that is that people seem to need sort of any coherent philosophy that makes them believe in growth. So, I mean, Japan is Buddhist and they do a little better than us on the IQ scores, the crime rates and so on. Christianity has, the way I would put that is traditionally in the West, Christianity and don't forget Judaism have been those pillars for us. And removing those pillars, it might be possible that Roman Stoicism or something would do about as well, but I don't think modern pop culture is trying to replace Christianity with warrior Stoicism. It seems to be trying to replace it with barbarism. Mm. And this actually, this is a good segue into the back into the slavery conversation, though, because people are lazy, bad, sexually flawed, so on. But you just made a point. We're talking about this in religious or scientific terms. It's not really useful to criticize humanity, the Christian, or your humanity, the fact you have a body as well as a soul. The Christian take on this has always been that humans are born flawed and can be redeemed by God. And there are other takes. I mean, the scientific perception is we're natural predators, which is better than the only other option. But, I mean, you can't really usefully criticize that and say, well, what if humans were an entirely peaceful asexual species? That's not going to happen. What you need is something that's going to channel your ability for self-improvement. The term human potential is useful here. But that's the problem with slavery that you actually mentioned pretty much word for word during, like, the off-time segment. Slavery is a system, so is communism, that deprives people of their human potential.
Exactly.
If you are captured after a battle, remember the ancient Greeks and Persians when they were fighting used to capture philosophers and scholars from the other side and so on all the time. And they were just rowing boats, too, like everybody else.
Right.
I mean, so that's if you're do we have free will? Yes, of course. I think most Westerners would say that comes from perhaps a higher place than this world. But the reality is that free will is dependent on a civilized, probably capitalistic society. Which is an arrogant but important sentence, because if you were born on a slave plantation, you don't legitimately have free will.
Right.
You can choose to fight and die or be a slave. That's always been the historical choice. But you can't choose to be a lawyer. You know, like, your options are very limited. And that's why slavery historically has been unproductive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think ultimately, when you think about, you talk about free will, I believe the highest calling that we have on this planetary plane here is freedom, is liberty. You know, that is what gets you out of the boat. That is what gets you out of the plantation and to be, you know, like the military term, you know, be the best you can be and be all that you can be. Wow. That's what I would want for my kids and my grandkids, Will. And for anybody for that matter, is for them to be able to exercise that elevated human expression.
I think you came up with one sentence. I mean, you came up with a great one sentence sort of moral code for humans. I think especially men, it's important to focus on this. Be all you can be physically, mentally, relationships. And even in slavery, even in Auschwitz, you can hold to that code. It's just going to be one, a hell of a lot harder, and two, you have a lot fewer options. You might be honorably dead, whereas in normal capitalist life, you can be a doctor.
Yes, exactly. Dr. Wilfred Riley, he's the professor of political science at Kentucky State University. Well, thanks for the conversation and the insight. Always special.
Always good talking to you.
You got it, pal. Take care.
Hey, trader, listen up. The markets have changed. Have you changed your trading strategies? Vantage Point can help you conquer volatility. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word money to 813-813 and discover how to predict stock market trends 1 to 3 days in advance with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. No matter which way the market moves, Vantage Point's patented AI can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to get what you need to stay ahead of markets and find your best entries and exits.
Text the word money to 813-813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text money to 813-813.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about